blessing to be here at Union Church tonight, and appreciate so much the invitation, and have always felt the presence of the Lord here in this place, and certainly a love of the saints, and just such a great blessing to be with y'all tonight. Appreciate the good, humble prayer that's been prayed. We're thankful to the Lord for His manifestation of the Spirit as we sought to sing the songs of Zion together. And we want to keep praying that His Spirit will be with us in a real and a precious way. Have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, where we see a miraculous set of circumstances that come upon a man named Saul. It said, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." We're introduced to this man named Saul. We've already seen a little bit about him in the scriptures, but we see very vividly the heart of this man. It said, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord." Saul of Tarsus was literally living. The Bible tells us that the Lord breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. What we breathe for is what we live for. And here, Saul of Tarsus was literally breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was literally living to persecute the Lord Jesus Christ and those that would follow Him. It's interesting that Saul's name literally means desired. And Saul of Tarsus thought he was a man to be desired. Saul of Tarsus was a big man amongst them. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a big man. He was a respected man, and he knew it. And he thought a lot of himself. He thought he was a man to be desired. He's going unto Damascus, and he's taken with him letters that if he found any of this way, that is the way in following the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, that if he found any of this way, you see, he hated the Lord Jesus Christ and he hated this way, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. He's on his way to Damascus. The meaning of Damascus is a very interesting meaning. If you look at that Greek word, it literally means silent. Is the sackcloth weaver. Silent is the sackcloth weaver. A lot of times in the Bible, when somebody comes to a state of repentance, when they're in despondency and grief and mourning over their own sins, the Bible will say they repented in sackcloth and ashes. Here's a man that's said a lot. Here's a man that would give his voice against the saints of God and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would say later in the book of Acts, "I gave my voice against those that they might die, I gave my voice against them," saying, "I gave my voice against them that they may be executed for following the Lord Jesus Christ." He gave his voice against many. There was a whole lot of times where Saul of Tarsus was not silent. But I'm going to tell you, he's fixing to be silent. And he's fixing to be in sackcloth and ashes himself. Silent is the sackcloth weaver. And we see a bunch of symbolism here, I believe, as Saul of Tarsus is headed to Damascus. It said, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him." So you see, this is personal. "Round about him, a light from heaven." I can't help but when I read this verse is to think about some of the movies you've seen where prisoners escape from a prison facility. And you see the prisoners, they've gotten outside the gate and they think they're going to freedom. And all of a sudden that big spotlight comes down and shines right on them. And that spotlight is just for them. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This light was far brighter than any spotlight of a prison, but this light came from heaven. This light came from the Lord Himself, and it shone round about Him. This was personal to Saul of Tarsus. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly, instantaneously, immediately, there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him. Notice how personal this is. The light shone round about him. This voice came to him personally. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I believe Saul had an indication who this was, because he said, Who art thou, Lord? He had an idea who was talking to him. Called his name twice, Saul, Saul. And I'll tell you, a little sheep of God, when they've been called by the shepherd, tends to know who the shepherd is. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto Mary Magdalene? She had been at the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's in despondency because she's come to see the body of the Lord. And He's not there. And she sees a man that she thinks is the gardener. And she said, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, please tell me where he is that I may come and take him away. Jesus called her name. She thought he was just the gardener. Jesus called her name and said, Mary. And she says, Rabboni, which means teacher, which means master. And when Jesus called her name, she knew who he was. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus is our good shepherd, calls our name. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ calls Saul's name twice. Saul, Saul. You know, when Mama and Daddy called my name twice, I knew I better listen up. When they said, Mark, Mark, I knew I better listen up quick. And the Lord Jesus calls His name twice. Said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, there's no mention in Scripture that Saul of Tarsus had ever physically met the Lord Jesus Christ prior to this point. So how was Saul persecuting the Lord? You see, Saul was persecuting the children of God. Saul was persecuting the brethren, spiritual brethren of Christ. We are heirs and joint heirs with our elder brother, the Lord Jesus. And Jesus is saying, when you're persecuting God's little children, when you're persecuting my brethren, you're persecuting me. You know, that's sweet to me. That the Lord Jesus would say, when you're persecuting those that follow me, these saints of God, you are persecuting me. You know, if somebody messes with my family, they're messing with me. And the Lord Jesus viewed it the same way. When you're persecuting my family, when you're giving your voice against and calling upon followers of me to be executed, my brethren, He said, you're persecuting me. How sweet that the Lord Jesus says, if you're persecuting my people, you're persecuting me. He said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Pricks literally were a goad like a metal instrument that you would prod horses or cows or other kind of cattle with. And he said, It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, that is Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Here's this man, this Saul of Tarsus, that made the saints of God tremble. Wherever he went, people were worried and afraid. He made no difference between men and women. You know, a lot of people in the world today say Saul didn't like women. Well, I'll tell you, he treated men and women equally in this way. He put you both in prison. He called on you both to be executed, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. He didn't care. And now, this man that made others tremble, he's trembling. He's astonished. You know, when you tremble, there's been a few times in my life I've trembled. And it's when I was either extremely cold or terribly, terribly afraid. And I actually only remember one time in my life that I was afraid enough to tremble. It's when I was a little boy and I was very scared of water, and Daddy decided he was going to fix me of that, and he did. And he put me on a diving board and said, you got to jump. And I was so scared of that water, I remember my legs trembling. And Daddy got me over that. Some people may say that was rough, but it worked on me. It got me over my fear of the water. But when you're scared enough to tremble, you are absolutely scared to death. And I'm going to tell you, I believe what happened to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus was he was born again by the Holy Spirit of God. I believe he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He had had a heart of stone. He had a hate in his heart for the Lord Jesus Christ and for all the saints of God and for the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. But the Lord's voice spoke to him and born him again and struck him down. And this man that made other people tremble, now he's trembling and he's afraid of the power and of the Lord that he stood against. He falls down trembling and astonished and said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He's not worried about everybody else. You know, before he was. He thought everybody else is wrong and I'm right. Now he's worried about himself. Now he sees the weight and the darkness and the blackness of his own sin. And he thinks about all the saints of God that he's killed. I'm sure Stephen's face was heavy on his mind. You know, earlier in Acts, before Peter, or right about that time that Stephen was preaching his sermon, so he began to talk. The Bible said they looked upon his face as it had been the face of an angel. Can you imagine how much the Holy Spirit and the very glory of heaven was on Stephen there as he preached, and when his face as it had been the face of an angel. But that didn't deter Saul of Tarsus. The hate just filled his heart all the more. And he called. He was consenting unto Stephen's death. He wanted to see him die. When those that were ready to pick up the rocks to hurl stone after stone after stone at the face of this faithful preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man that was so filled with the Spirit, His face was that it had been the face of an angel. And Saul said, I want him to die. And his people picked up the rocks to hurl rock after rock after rock against them. Saul of Tarsus said, I'll hold your coats so you can get a better throw. I'll hold your coats that you won't be held back by it. This man that made others tremble, now he's trembling. Now he's bowing before this holy God that he had once persecuted. This light that shone around Saul of Tarsus, he would later tell, this was about noontime, that this light was above the brightness of the noonday sun. How glory, how bright and how wondrous is the glory of the risen Christ. You know, the experience of Saul of Tarsus on this road in some ways is different than our experience. But I'm going to tell you, in the way that he was born again is exactly the way we were born again. The power that it took to born again Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus is the same power that it took for us to be born again. The same voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that spoke to Saul of Tarsus' heart. Now, we didn't hear an outward voice when we were born again, but I'll tell you, John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus would say, "For the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead," that is the dead in trespasses and sins, "when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Everybody's born again the same way. John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus would tell Nicodemus, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth." He said, "So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Not some folks are born this way, not most folks are born again this way, but so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So the same way Saul of Tarsus was born again on the road to Damascus is the same way we were born again. The same voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that spoke to his heart and took out that heart of stone and gave him a heart of flesh is the same one that spoke to us individually and personally. Now, he saw the glorified Christ visibly. He saw the brightness of that light. The Lord gives him some instructions. He said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" His heart was changed in a moment. A heart that had been against the Lord is now wanting to do whatever the Lord wants for him to do. That same power came upon us. He tells him what to do. He said, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." You know, the Lord didn't leave him with no knowledge. He said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" He says, "Arise and go into the city." What city? Damascus. What does Damascus mean? Silent. Silent is the sackcloth weaver. For 3 days, Saul of Tarsus would be without sight. Goes on to say, "And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus." This powerful man that had thought he was one to be desired, now can't see. You know what the last sight he saw was before he lost his sight? Was the glorified, risen Christ in His glory and splendor above the brightness of the noonday sun. And I believe that image was emblazoned upon his mind those 3 days. That was the last thing he saw. And I believe he pondered on how holy and righteous and glorious his Lord is, and how black and how dark he is. How putrefied and guilty of so many sins he is. You know, I wondered what the folks thought there in Acts chapter 2 when Peter in great power and glory and full of the Holy Spirit was preaching unto them. And he tells them, "Ye with wicked hands have crucified and slain the Son of God." Some of those people he was preaching to, I believe, were present there when Jesus was delivered to be crucified.
I believe some of those people there he was preaching to were likely there when Pilate was trying to release unto them Barabbas. And they didn't want him, and they said, "Crucify Jesus! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Pilate would say, "Why, what evil hath he done?" Because the Bible said Pilate knew that for envy they had delivered him. And they cried out the more, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And I'm going to tell you, that's what the will of man will always do. The will of man in the natural state will always say, "Release Barabbas and crucify Jesus." Man never by free will in the natural state will ever pick or choose the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll never happen. Here I think Saul of Tarsus, those people there that had crucified Christ, had called upon and said, "His blood be on us and on our children, crucify him." Can you imagine when they realized what they had done? And they tell Peter, they were pricked in the heart. They were born again children of God. They had now had a conviction of their own sin. They realized what they'd done. "We crucified the Messiah." They said, "What shall we do?" That's the cry of Saul of Tarsus. He realized, "What have I done? I've persecuted the Lord Jesus Christ. I've persecuted those that would follow the Son of God. What shall I do? Lord. Lord." "What wilt thou have me to do?" The Lord says, "Arise and go into the city. It'll be told thee what thou must do." They say here that the men that journeyed with Saul of Tarsus stood speechless. That they had heard a voice, but they saw no man. If you look later in the book of Acts, as Paul is telling the story, he'll say the men which journeyed with him saw a light, but didn't hear the voice. And the scoffers of this world will see, the Bible's all wrong. Acts 9 says they heard the voice, but didn't see a man. Said they that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no man. And then in Acts 22, as Paul would later tell this story, it said they indeed saw the light, but they didn't hear the voice. And the scoffers of this world will say the Bible's disagreeing with itself. The Bible must be wrong. But you know, the Bible rightly divided, rightly understood, never, ever, ever contradicts itself. How do we explain that? I believe they heard this word voice. Can have the connotation of noise. It can have the connotation of sound. And it can have the connotation of voice. I think these men heard something. You know, there was a time in John chapter 12 where God was speaking from heaven, and the Bible said some men thought it thundered. So they couldn't hear all the articulable words that were being said. It sounded like thunder to them. You see, these words were not to the men that were traveling with Saul of Tarsus. These words were to him. He heard the words. The other men just heard the sound. They didn't understand the words because it wasn't to them. So the Bible stands true. In one sense, they did hear the voice and that they heard the sound. And they saw the light, but they didn't understand the individual words. They didn't hear what the Lord was telling him because it wasn't to them. And I believe that's the way to rightly divide these scriptures. It said they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias," And he said, "Behold, I'm here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." Here's Saul of Tarsus, the man that I don't think had ever prayed really in his life, is now praying. I think Saul of Tarsus may have prayed a prayer like the Pharisee did, that he's praying thus with himself. "I thank thee, Father, that I'm not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican. For I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." But I don't think he had ever really prayed. I know he hadn't prayed from the born-again heart of a child of God. Now the Lord tells him, "Behold, this man prayeth." What a reminder for us how important it is for us to pray every day. If that was one of the first things that Saul of Tarsus knew he needed to do after he had seen the blackness and the darkness and the bankruptness of his own sin. Jesus, thou art the sinner's friend. And this man that had persecuted Christ now is coming to realize he's my friend, even though I've done him so wrong. He's my friend. Behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. I believe he's in somewhat a bit of despondency. He can't say anything physically. The last thing he saw was the glorified face of the Son of God. And I believe he's in despondency and mourning over the blackness and the darkness of all the sins and all the people he's killed and all the folks that he's given his voice against him and said they need to die. The Lord sends him a man. Sends him a man named Ananias. You know what Ananias told the Lord when the Lord called? He said, "Behold, I'm here, Lord." You know, it's easy to tell the Lord you're here if he's giving you something that you want to do. But he's going to send Ananias to the most scary tormentor of Christians in the world. How would you like that job? And here goes Ananias in faithfulness. He said, "I'm going to send you, Ananias." He said, "For behold, he prayeth." Saul of Tarsus is praying. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. You see, the Lord's working on both ends of the stick. He's working on Saul of Tarsus and telling him that Ananias is going to come. And he's working on Ananias to send him. And I'll tell you, the Lord does that a lot. Sister Debbie here asked for us to pray for churches without pastors. Don't think God doesn't work on both ends of that. He works on the man to be led to the church and the church to be led to the man. The Lord works on both ends of the stick. He has a habit of doing that, and we see that vividly illustrated here. Then Ananias said, "Lord, I've seen by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind on all them that call on thy name." But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, "Brother Saul," this man that he killed so many, he says, "Brother Saul, the blood of the Lord Jesus can bind us together like nothing else can." He lays his hand. He touches this man. There's a personal touch there. The Lord tells him, "You need to touch this man." Oh, the sweet embraces we find in the house of God with the saints of God. And he puts his hand on this man and lays his hand on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in thy way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. This man that had been persecuting the saints of God, when the voice of the Lord spoke to his heart and he took out that hard and stony heart, he gave him a heart of flesh. He called him into the ministry. He blessed him to see the glorified, risen Christ. Now this man is preaching Christ. What a miracle of grace. What a friend we have in Jesus. He called this man out of darkness into his marvelous light. A man that was dead in trespasses and sins and the greatest persecutor of the church. He makes one of the greatest defenders of the faith that have ever lived. And the Lord did that same thing in our hearts. Our experience may be different from the Apostle Paul. I'll tell you, John the Baptist was quickened in his mother's womb. He hadn't had time to do much persecuting in his mother's womb. And I believe that a lot of us may have been born again early in life or later, and it can make our experience of life different. But I'll tell you, the same power that born again Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus is the same power that born again us. And the same voice that spoke to him is the same voice that spoke to us. And the same change that came over his heart, the same heart surgery that was done by the Lord on him, is the same one that was done on us. You know, I'm reminded in John chapter 11, when the Lord Jesus gave life unto Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. And later in the next chapter, everywhere Lazarus went, he was a testimony and a witness to the life-giving resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And the religious leaders of the Jews wanted to kill him because they said, everywhere Lazarus goes, he's a witness, he's a testimony to the life-giving resurrection power of Christ. We got to get rid of him. You know, Saul of Tarsus was that way. The Lord had not given him physical life in the same way he gave Lazarus, but he had given him spiritual life. And everywhere he went, he was a testimony to the life-giving power of Christ. But you know, you are too. You are too. Everywhere we go, when we show, when we work out the things that the Lord's put within us, that ninefold fruit of the Spirit, he writes to us about in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. You know, when we show that unto others and we show it in the house of God, we're a living testimony to the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. What a wondrous Savior we serve. The reason we wanted to be here tonight to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth, while we have a love in our heart to the saints of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, is because the same power that changed Saul of Tarsus is the same one that's changed us. What a blessing that he is. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.